Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, brother and sister. You're probably listening to. This is a location where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. We're all about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering hope and help for men. Our word, God's word says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This ministry is all about being able to reach those who are challenged on a daily basis. It does not matter where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You may not even have one, but the one that you do have, we just pray that as a result of being encouraged from this show, that you will actually seek to know him even more, and that's through his word. In the studio today, I have Steve with me. Steve is actually a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's also a leader of men, and he's with me a couple days a week in here, and I thank you for being with me today, brother.
I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today.
All right, and if you have been listening in on occasion, or if you had the possibility of going back on the podcast and listening to where we've been here, we've been talking about the life of David, but we're talking about going to tease it up here a little bit. It's not so much about temptation, as that's where temptation leads us, usually into a fall. But we're going to be talking about maybe secret lives, so to speak, secret sins, where those actually get us, and maybe how to get out of that. You know, the things that we've learned from the Word of God is that there are some lives and experiences that we get to read about that maybe we can learn from and to be able to avoid certain things. But before we get going on that, we always start off our show with an email. Brother, you can always send in a question that you have or a topic or something that you would like us to answer here on the show. You send it to help@bandofbrothersradio.com, and we'll be able to anonymously be able to answer that for you. And I think Steve has looked through a few of those, and let's fire away at one of those, brother.
Well, I'm a little bit torn this morning, Raul. There is there are several here that deal with men building relationships with other men, and that's the direction that I believe we'll go this morning. However, there's one here that asks the question about lust. A gentleman who describes his struggle indicates he can't make it go away, and he asks the question, have you guys actually stopped lusting? We're going to deal with that one on Friday morning.
All right.
Okay? Is that fair?
That sounds good. We'll have to mark that one Friday so we can...
We'll mark it Friday. It is a great question. It is a challenge for all of us as men. On this program, we just don't dodge any bullets. You send them, we'll try to answer them. But this morning, I feel prompted in my heart that we should talk about this issue of men building relationships with other men. And this brother writes, you guys keep saying you're not alone and that we need to find other men to connect to. But this is a problem for me. I have a difficult time making good friends. I try to make friends with other guys, but it never seems to go anywhere. Do you have any thoughts on this? Now, I think this is an open, sincere, and honest question. And I suspect if you interviewed a fair number of men, you'd find out that this brother is not alone in his struggle to build relationships. So what would you say to him?
Well, you know, I always think, I don't know why, but I always come with the analogy of a pack of lions, okay, where you have the younger lions, the older lions, And we're talking about the males, okay, not so much the females here. But I look at it as a couple of the guys who are about the same age, the lion's about the same age, they're actually trying to, get themselves in a position of being able to take lead of that group. What do they call them in lions? I just went blank. Not a herd.
Pride.
Thank you. And but in a sense, there's a positioning that usually takes place. Now, men, as a rule, we have a tendency of not necessarily wanting to reach out to other men. Sure, we will. We'll be cordial in some sense of being able to say, hi, how you doing? And whether it be at work, if it's at work, there's always, I don't know what it is. It's a competitive thing. Men are competitive. We strive. We're built that way. And I think it's a good thing. And yet sometimes we take it to extremes or maybe to that point where we don't really are able to communicate with others. But I know this is that to go and meet other men, a lot of times and I'll speak for myself. Sometimes I can be at one time in my life a little too upfront or maybe coming up. I'm the type of guy that likes a good handshake, right? And on occasion, I don't mind giving a hug. But there are men who don't like to do that sort of thing. So I've got to be able to respect that. So if I'm going out, if I go out with the idea that, man, I need to make more friends or I was told to do that sort of thing, I need to actually be a little bit more sensitive to how they may feel, okay? So, in other words, by me going out and saying, hey, I'm out here to try to make friends and I want to see if you want to be one of my friends. Well, that's not the way it goes. It's a relationship. Relationships take time. And if they're going to be anything of any importance in my life, there's going to be something that this other guy is actually going to be able to bring into this relationship that's going to benefit me, and in turn, I might benefit him by some of the things that I have that I bring to it. You know, not all my guy friends are actually that I share everything with. I have some guys that I just golf with. I have some guys that I go out and I'll paddle a kayak with. There's other guys that I'm closer to that I can share almost anything with, okay? Now, that doesn't mean they're not all friends. They are. But everyone fits a certain billet. The truest friend, I believe, is that one that I have on a daily basis. That's with Jesus Christ. And that's the one that I try to draw near because, you know what? He actually, when I ask him, he actually will put men in front of me. He'll put that right relationship or he'll say, no, I'm not giving you another one. You need to make this one right first, you know? So that is where I'm going to go with this. You know, the cool thing is that you do not want to be alone. You need to have other men. You need to be able to have a pack of guys that you're sitting there or with at different times, knowing that you can go to them at any given time and that they can come to you at any given time to be able to receive encouragement and hope in what we have to deal with on a daily basis. So thank God for fellowship and being able to be with men who are like-minded, so to speak. So don't go where you're loved. It's basically what I go with. So.
Well, and therein lies the challenge, is I think that we would be surprised at how many men don't feel loved, don't feel accepted, mm-hmm. don't feel like they belong, mm-hmm. don't feel like anybody really wants to build a meaningful relationship with mm-hmm. them. It's important to recognize that part of this is our own internal wiring. I know a man who, if we were to go to a golfing tournament somewhere and there were men staying in a hotel up and down the hallway, within about 15 or 20 minutes, he'd know every person there. He'd be shaking hands. They'd feel like they'd known him all his life. Mm-hmm. They'd be laughing and joking. I mean, it's this way for this guy everywhere he goes. And he's not physically outwardly impressive in any way. He just is such an open, free, warm, loving, and that's his wiring. He's been that way all of his life. Mm-hmm. And that's how he is. Right. There are other men who, because of they're more introverted, and I think men frequently tend towards this, and they're less open. They'd go in their hotel room and close the door and wouldn't, and then it would be painful for them to go down to dinner. And they wouldn't feel comfortable till they actually got on the golf tee and were playing the game.
Right.
So men are different in terms of their wiring. And when a man starts focusing on building a relationship with other men, if he experiences rejection, He just withdraws that much farther. Mm-hmm. So this brother that wrote in today, first of all, I want to affirm the message that we've been saying is you're not alone. Mm. Jesus is there.
Yes.
And I can say that it is the will of God. Without reservation, without any doubt, I can say that it is the will of God that over time you develop some meaningful Christian relationships. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, number one, Proverbs says, in order for a man to have friends, he must show himself to be friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would encourage you to do is to get into a Christian circle, your church, your men's ministry, a small group ministry, and just be open and sensitive to the Lord. But when you see a brother that you believe that you can help him, come alongside and say, you know, I'd like to start praying for you. What are some things that I can pray for you? Mm-hmm. And if that brother's open and will share, you can start praying for him. Mm-hmm. And in time, as you interact with him, has God answered this prayer? How are you doing in this struggle? In other words, as a man starts reaching out to other men to help them, mm-hmm. he's going to come into contact and relationship, and those bonds are then knit by the Spirit, and it doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
So we're not just talking about casually going out and playing golf with somebody that you really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You play golf with them on Tuesday, and you find out on Thursday that there's some major crisis in their life, and they never talked about it on Tuesday because you really don't know them. You're just with them.
Right.
And what we're talking about is not just being with another man or other men, but actually coming to know them.
Yes.
And so get a servant's heart. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. It's not going to happen overnight, but it is God's will that you build those relationships. Put yourself in the... So we're talking about David, and last week we said David was in the wrong place at the wrong time, got him in trouble.
Mm.
Well, I want to just flip that over. Put yourself in the right place at the right time, and you're going to build those relationships. Go to the hospital and pray for somebody when they're in need. Reach out.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, instead of trying to be a receiver, mm-hmm. you start being a giver.
Yes.
Because if you sow it, the Bible says you will reap it. And that's true for friendship, mm-hmm. just like it is for every other category of our lives.
Amen. And you know what? I just want to sort of affirm when you had mentioned about going to a hospital. Today, in today's world, sometimes they do not allow you just to be able to walk in and talk with anybody. But there is a location that you can go talk to somebody that most of the time, the people there, whether it be the nurses or the nurses' aides, will say, hey, be more than happy to go ahead and talk with them. And go to a nursing home. Some of these men that are in there, you might find some real, not only wisdom in there, but you'll find men who will say, yes, I don't mind you praying for me. You might have to spend some time and have some coffee with them, but it'll all be well worth it. You never know what gem or what jewel that God might have in store for you at that time. So when we come back from our break, we're going to get back into David here a little bit more and talk about the secret lives that men may live. And you're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments Anniversary Event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and I have Steve in the studio with me, and we have the palms are sweating. It feels like it's this pregame type of thing. But we're talking about the life of David, you know. We were talking about here the last two shows. I think it's the last two shows. Maybe it was just one show, but it seemed like it's been a couple, that we've actually been talking about David and what took place in the lust. When he went to the rooftop, not knowing exactly what he had gone up there for, but we both believe, because this is David who is after a man after God's own heart, okay, that probably went up there to pray. And as a result of going up to the rooftop in the evening to pray and to maybe spend some time with the Lord, as he was looking around, all of a sudden he witnessed and noticed a woman bathing, okay? And he had to find out what it was. He actually made a decision to keep looking and lusting and had to find out who this person was. And come to find out it was Bathsheba. And that actually she was actually had a husband that was part of the army, and he was out of town. And you know what? He ended up, of course, David, doing some things that just, well, is not necessarily the right thing to be doing. But you know what? His flesh took over. The temptation was there. The temptation led into sin, and it put David in a position to make some other decisions. And anyway, so there's a little preliminary on this. How did I do on that preliminary? Did I miss something there?
No, I think you hit the high points. I think you stated it quite well and quite clearly. And this is the story of David as found in 2 Samuel chapter 11. He sees Bathsheba, and he sends for her. Now they've got a problem, because Bathsheba sends word back that she has conceived a child. Had that not happened, we don't know what direction this story might have taken. Would they have continued to see each other? We don't know that. Would it have been a one-time event in their relationship? We don't know that. But what we do know is that David, who was the man after God's own heart, who was in hot pursuit of the glory of God and the presence of God, David was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. David was led by the Holy Spirit. What we do know, as you defined for us a moment ago, is that David got turned and pointed in the wrong direction, and he not only violated his relationship with the Lord, but he took something that was not his. Now, I'm going to speculate and say, well, we also know that David now wanted to keep this a secret, and we're going to talk about what he does to keep it a secret, because that's what you do when you begin to trespass into areas that God has forbidden you to go, you begin to keep it a secret, because it violates not only God's law, but it violates man's law, and you now have this secret behavior. And I have a strong suspicion that had Bathsheba not conceived, that once David crossed that line, that the next time he faced a similar temptation, it would have been even easier to cross the line.
Right.
Because sin begins to weaken us slowly and gradually, but certainly, until our previous defenses are removed and we find ourselves doing things that we would have never imagined that we would have done. So the parallels, obviously, for us today is David is looking at Bathsheba, and he desires her. And there she is, right there within eyesight of his rooftop. Well, the parallel today is that through the eye gate, men are seeing things that are going to lead them in a direction that's going to take them away from their meaningful relationships with the people that God has placed in their lives, not just their wives, but it. When you begin to descend down this path and be led astray through the eye gate, it's important to understand it's not just taking you away from your relationship with your wife and your relationship with God, but it's taking you away from every relationship that is important to you. Mm-hmm. Your friends, your children, your parents, if they're still alive, that you're literally being led away from everything that in the end is of value to you. Mm-hmm. One way to look at it is if you were dying and you called a certain group of people to be around your bed, to be with you at that moment of your passing, mm-hmm. and you visualize who those people were, who those people are, when you begin to be led astray through the eye gate mm-hmm. and pulled off into this area of destruction, mm-hmm. you are being pulled, your relationship with all of those people is being weakened and diminished because the enemy, Brother Raoul, came to steal, to kill, mm-hmm. and destroy. And so David's up on the rooftop, and he's having this exhilarating moment.
Right.
Little does he know what in this moment feels so good is going to turn out being very bad. And that's how the enemy works.
And what you just described, most of us men who are listening to what you're sharing here, is that applies to me. I understand that. I think we have all experienced that type of devastation from where temptation, something that we think is harmless at the moment, all of a sudden puts us in a position where, how did I get here, so to speak? And then, not just at that moment in time, but what happens as you, I think it was very clear that all of a sudden, next time that situation is similar, becomes a lot easier. Before I know it, I am caught up in a lifestyle that I did not realize or not even intended to go in one point or another. So I think it's difficult as men not to be able to relate with this, and because that is something that we have to deal with on a daily basis. And that's why we try to encourage each other that, brother, you've got to watch out. You got to be careful here. The enemy knows how to get to us. He knows how to push our buttons. He knows what our weakness is, okay, because he's been with us for a while. All right, and he sees that, and we voice that, and then all he does is keep hammering at that weakness.
And what we're saying here today is not to bring shame into any man, and I think that's one of the wonderful things about the story of David.
Right.
I mean, if this can happen to David, it happens to all of us.
Yes.
David is the man after God's own heart.
Right.
But there are things here for us to learn.
Right.
There are things here that the Holy Spirit wants to impress upon our minds and our hearts and continually renew us in so that we see the danger. One of the ways I love to visualize this story, mm-hmm. and of course David gave us so many of the Psalms, and mm-hmm. he said, I will praise you from my inmost being. Your praises will always be in my mouth, in my lips, on my heart. Magnify the Lord with me. I mean, this is David. So when David goes up to the rooftop, and we're speculating here, but I just believe that this is the case, that he probably has gone up to that rooftop many times to pray. Mm-hmm. And I'm injecting into the story, but I believe when David prayed, he stood before the Lord with upraised hands and turned his face heavenward and said, Lord, I worship you and I praise you.
Right.
Well, if David would have been looking upward, he would not have seen Bathsheba.
Right. Right.
But in order to see Bathsheba, he had to turn his gaze from looking upwards towards God to looking downwards, because he's up on the roof and she's down below.
Right.
So it's a picture of contrast. Right. You and I, there are always going to be temptations. Mm-hmm. Even David mm-hmm. experiences this. You and I, we could very well face a very similar temptation today. Unbeknownst to us, unexpectedly, it's out there in front of us. Mm-hmm. And that's true for every man.
Right.
You just don't know what you're going to be confronted with. But the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, with every temptation, mm-hmm. God is faithful.
Yes.
And there is a way of escape.
Right.
So could David have escaped this? Well, he certainly could have if he would have looked in the right direction. And remember, this David said, I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord.
Right.
But he looked the wrong way, and then he got focused.
Well, and on the same token, if we look at even prior to that, where King David, his army was actually at war, okay? And as we talked about and stated at the last time at the beginning that, you know what, this might be sort of preliminary, but this all maybe sets it all up for the sin that he actually should have been at war with his army, okay, because most kings are there.
Absolutely.
And in turn, as far as making a decision not to be for whatever reason, kind of left him vulnerable, so to speak, to temptation, to even more.
Absolutely. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah,
and so. Then he started doing the wrong thing, and as a result, he suffered the consequences.
Is that the same as most guys sit there and go, I don't know why I made that decision to go there or to do that. I really didn't have to do that, or I should have probably made a different decision. This was the priority, but I decided not to. And then that's where, when we get through in hindsight, looking at where we were, especially if we are at that place where we've already repented and asked for forgiveness for where we've been and dealing with it. But in hindsight, looking back, that's what we want to see is where did we fall? Where did we actually make a decision that actually led us into that? You know, what was the actual, you know, and digging that up, sometimes that's beneficial in a sense.
Well, I'm going to inject something into the story here, and we don't know this, but I say that it exists as a possibility. Perhaps David had been up on that rooftop before.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps David had looked towards Bathsheba's window before.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when we start drifting into these secret areas of sin, it just doesn't come like a lightning bolt out of anywhere.
Right.
What a man does, he begins giving himself little tiny entitlements or permission to do things that that take him in a direction that he shouldn't be going.
Right.
And they're small enough steps that he justifies it.
Yes.
I'm tired or I'm worn out or I'm lonely or, I mean, whatever it is, or this won't hurt anything, or this won't make any difference. Most men just don't dive headlong into a major crisis kind of problem. If we could dissect it and see the pathology of
right.
it, we'd go back and we'd see that somewhere way back here, we began to give ourselves permission. And I'm telling my story now. I'm not talking about you or the guys listening. I'm telling my story that somewhere way back here, it's just a little bit of slippage,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of sliding,
yes,
just a little bit of cooling off spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we can still talk the talk and walk the walk for other people to see,
mm-hmm.
but we're gradually losing ground inside,
mm-hmm.
and we're becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. And there is an enemy hiding in the bushes.
Right.
Bible
right.
says he goes about as a roaring lion.
Yes.
And the moment we become too weak in our relationship with God to defend ourselves, he seizes us and seeks to destroy us. And not only us, but the people around us. Because when you crash, there is a crash zone. You are not the only one
right.
that is impacted.
And, you know, when you give that analogy of your own story, and I'm going to tell you, I can sit here and listen to you, and I certainly understand what you're talking about because I've been there and done that also. And I know there's other men who have done the same thing. They might be in the middle of it right now. But totally, it's all about secrecy. I'm not going to let anybody know. I remember a time in my life, there was an individual, a female, that I sat, and I knew that she would be at a certain place at a certain time, almost I could almost guarantee it, and I would just sort of make myself there. And all of a sudden, I look at it as, she goes, oh, what a coincidence that you're here. Yes, I know, isn't it? I think God actually put this together. I mean, I'll justify it every which way to make it right, okay? But I'll still keep it a secret because most people aren't going to know. And those who came too close, I would avoid it or go to other sins of lying and deceit and whatever it may be. But it was my own secret and still doing things where others think, in the majority of those who don't know me well, oh, everything's fine in his life. It looks like it's okay. Oh, boy. What brews between these ears up here and in my heart at times in the past is not anything that's very pretty. I don't think for a lot of us. But when we come back from this break, we're going to kind of continue stirring this up a little bit because there's, man, did you ever think a story of David would take this long to kind of chew up? This is what Bible study is all about. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years. And the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. I was lost when you found me here. And I was broken beyond repair. Then you came along and you sang your song over me. It feels like I'm born again.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I'm Raul, and we're talking about life of David, and you know, as we just open this up a little bit, I find that it's actually the life of Raul also, you know, and so much of what God reveals to us is to help us know and be aware of what it is that lies ahead of us if we end up making certain decisions. You know, I found, brother, that Steve, that I found that when I become bring that out into the light, even my weakness or willingness to be able to think things through sometimes will actually help me to see what could happen. Where before it's just in the flesh, I'm sitting there, I just want to feel good. And that's usually what takes over, is that I don't think about anything else except just the immediate result.
Well, and what you're thinking about, that's your focus, and that's one of our great themes here, is that what's in you eventually will come out of you. Mm-hmm. And you have the wrong things going on in the inside of you. It's only a matter of time until the wrong things are going on the outside of you. Mark it down.
Right.
You can't let your mind drift off into carnality and other areas of trespass, be it bitterness or unforgiveness. If that's what's in your heart, it's going to come out. I want to take a few minutes here, Raul, this morning, and contrast between the story of David and the story of Uriah the Hittite.
Mm.
Now, Uriah is Bathsheba's husband.
Right.
And we don't know a great deal about Uriah, but what we do know is that he must have been high enough in the military, because we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers. He was high enough in the military that he was notable. When Joab knew who Uriah the Hittite was, David knew, mm-hmm. David's people knew who Uriah the Hittite was. And that Uriah and Bathsheba, we know Bathsheba was a beautiful woman, and so Uriah must have had something going. He mm-hmm. was married to her.
Right.
And we also know that wherever David's palace was there in the
yep.
city of David, that he lived close by. I mean,
right.
he was in the right, he was a powerful man in the right neighborhood. It has all the appearance. Mm-hmm. And also, he was a Hittite.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a descendant of Israel. He was a Hittite, so he had somehow integrated into this society here in Judah, and become a member of David's army and was notable. So I'm going to say that he probably was a very gifted, talented type of individual that captured somebody's attention mm-hmm. and was given some position.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got David, the man after God's own heart, and we know that he was highly skilled in music and military and literature. And then we've got Uriah over here. And David takes Uriah's wife. She becomes pregnant. And so David has Joab, the general, be sure that Uriah the Hittite is killed in battle.
Right.
So indirectly, David kills Uriah.
Mm-hmm.
But before he does that, he tries something else to try to cover his sin. Now, here is a picture of you and I living in secret sin, because one sin always gives birth to more sin. So David has taken Bathsheba, and now he's going to lie about it, and he's going to try to get Uriah to go home and have a sexual relationship with his wife so that Uriah will believe that the child that Bathsheba has conceived is really his and not
right.
David's.
Right.
So he starts scheming. And I want to tell you, when you find yourself scheming to cover your sin, you are in trouble.
Mm.
So David brings Uriah back, and it's a contrast between David, who had the position with God, but allowed his character to crumble around him, and Uriah, who was such a man of character that he stood firm on principle right up to the point of being killed.
Mm.
So David has Uriah brought back from the battlefield and supposedly under the guise that David wants to know what's going on, but he really brings Uriah back so he can send Uriah home,
mm-hmm.
sleep with his wife. Uriah has too much character. You talk about a man that's faithful to his brothers.
Right.
He goes out and he sleeps at the palace gate with the other servants and does not go home. And when David confronts him and says, "Why didn't you go home and lay with your wife?" He said, "How can I do such a thing
right.
when my brothers are sleeping in tents, when the Ark of the Covenant is out there on the battlefield and
right.
Joab is fighting?"
Right.
I mean, this is a man of character. So on one hand, and what this teaches us right here, is that you and I as men have the power to say no to physical and sensual desires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When a man says, "I couldn't help myself," that man's lying to himself.
Yes.
Period. Period. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
He has deceived himself. He has been led astray by his own evil desires. The Bible says when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. And he's now found himself in this position. Uriah proves to us that a man can say no, that a man can control himself. Uriah did, David didn't. David is now going to continue to descend into more problems. The child, Uriah gets killed, the child is born, and eventually the child's going to die. I mean, it's a sad, sad, sad story. Now, there's a redemptive side of it, and we're going to talk about that on Friday. What does a man do when his life has completely fallen apart?
Mm-hmm.
Can he still come back to God? We're going to talk about that. But here at this moment, David, in an effort to cover his sin, and Proverbs tells us, whosoever covereth his sin shall not prosper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the man this is the man who's like the blessed man of Psalm 1. He meditates on God's word day and night, and everything he does prospers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But David is hiding his secret, but not for long.
You know, that we get the opportunity of being able to see this thing kind of open up from the very inception, from the seed that was planted of just thinking that I'm not going to do anything except not go to war right now. And then all of a sudden I find myself in a position of being tempted, and I look just because maybe I've looked before, but I'm going to look now once again, even though I'm still asking the Lord to be with me. And then all of a sudden I find myself following through with all of my flesh, what my flesh is saying, then find myself in a position of, again, like you said, of being able to manipulate and deceit and to be able to hide the sin that had taken place, which creates more sin, which is horrific in a sense. But we think that, okay, this is what happens to David. But if we look at our own lives, we sit there and go, wow, that is real similar to some of the things that I've done or some of the ways that I've felt or that I might be right in the middle of. When we come back from our break, we're going to kind of see if there's some means and ways of being able to avoid some of this from the get-go. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com. Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and I tell you what, man, I my palms are sweating here. I'm letting Steve and I are both talking and sharing. We ask the Holy Spirit to be with us, is that we be just the mouthpiece for Him today. And you know, I was looking at him right after this. I said, you know what? It comes right back down to the same things that we need to be able to do as men. I mean, really, if we sit there and go, how can we avoid falling into these temptations, okay, and fall into these voids, get on that slippery slope that we're not even sure we're on, it all comes down to this relationship with a power greater than myself, knowing that I cannot do this life, and I need Him. That is God. Jesus Christ is one of the triune, along with the Holy Spirit, that they live within me. But see, I've got to be at that place where I say, my life, it sucks. It is not good. I need it to change. And I've got to be willing to do whatever that is. And I see something in some other man that I want what he has, but I don't know if I want to go there. I don't know if I want to go through what he went through to get what he has. I want the shortcut version. Give it to me in the cheat sheet. I want to be able to have what he has. I want that joy. I want that peace that he seems to have. I want that love where people are attracted to him. I want to be like him. We all know who those men are in our lives. We've seen them. Now, here's what I believe God wants us to do, not only to know him, because I believe when we come to know him, Jesus will actually reveal who those men are, and he will give us the empowerment, the courage to walk up to these men and say, hey, I need to talk with you. I want what you have, but I'm not so sure I'm ready to go through what you had to go through to get what you've got. You know, that's when the true brotherhood starts to take place, you know, and it all starts with our relationship with him, with God, Jesus Christ.
Well, it does begin with our relationship with Jesus. And I want to say to every man that's listening, if you see yourself in David's story, I want to tell you, this is not about shame. This is not about guilt. This is not about condemnation. This is about a God who loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, to deliver you out of a destructive behavior pattern so that you can walk in fellowship with him. So there is power in the Spirit. There is life in the Spirit. God opens up the eyes of our understanding, softens our hearts so that we can grasp the path that leads to life. And I want to encourage you today, if you're in this kind of trouble, I want to tell you there is hope for you, there is help for you, there is life for you in Jesus Christ on the other side of your struggle. And if you're in a secret sin, the way you break the power of it is by dragging it out of the secrecy and bringing it into the light. You will be surprised. The devil will tell you that you'll be rejected and that people will turn away from you. You will be shocked to see that your problem is no different than anybody else's, and that God will surround you with people, other men, who love you, who accept you, who understand, who will embrace you, and together you can walk in victory.
Amen. In the book of James, he says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It's all about prayer. It's all about that relationship that we have with him. He will actually give you everything that's necessary. We just need to stay attuned and in his presence, being able to stay connected to him. Because, see, the enemy is not going to let this just come so easy. Like Stephen shared earlier from the Word of God, is that the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's going to do everything he can to do that against you. He's going to try to take you down and let you believe that you are a mistake, that there is no hope in your life. But that is where that relationship with other men will help encourage you to seek him. Okay? Because that's truly where it's going to come from. Because they'll come collectively. There's something that's powerful that takes place when men pray for other men. I got to tell you, I have the image sometimes in my head. Maybe it's because I'm a veteran as such. But, you know, I think of that movie, 300. I think of those guys who all had those stomachs, that they just kind of like mine. You know, I have that six-pack going, right? Or actually, most guys would say that's a one-pack, Raul. But the point being is that you come collectively with one vision and one thing in mind, is to reach those who are still captives, to reach those who are still in the darkness, to be able to bring them out into the light. He will give you everything that you need, brother. He will bring the right men in your life as you seek him. Start today, because this is the only day that we have. Neither you or I have a guarantee that tomorrow will be here for us. But this is the day that the Lord has blessed you with. So let's give him thanks. Stay in his presence for all things that take place. And he will reveal himself to you as you seek him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and be gracious to you. You are not alone, brother. God bless you.